Thank you for letting us be gone a couple weeks. You were a blessing to us. For letting us get away for a couple weeks. We love you for that. And the church was a blessing.
Thanks for coming back.
You guys were a blessing to us, too. You know, the parking lot got paved over, and people got visited in the hospital. Things were taken care of. And not that I don't think I'm needed. I hope I am. But part of being a pastor and ministering is to equip the church to carry on the work. And you guys were a blessing to us, knowing that you guys took care of things in our absence, and we thank you for that. We were started off three weeks ago, on a Sunday afternoon, and excited to be going on a vacation. We had never been gone 2 weeks in a row, and so we didn't know what to expect. And we got in the car and started on our journey, and right away we decided we need a motto. And our motto of our trip was, enjoy the journey. And you know, when you're cooped up in a car for 1,600 miles, sometimes there could be friction. We didn't have that, though. We had some wonderful time in the car. 1,600 miles. We drove for 2.5 days, and you'll see the picture there. We got about 3 miles from our campsite there at Glacier National Park. Now, we have never been to Glacier National Park, and Sonia and Dave Lindgren, I'm going to get you back for this, kept encouraging us for the last year, you got to see Glacier, you got to see Glacier, and so we had planned this out. They told us it was 1,400 miles, it was 1,600, and you know, I don't know if you've driven across Montana, but you just keep driving and driving and driving, like you never get there. And my wife, bless her heart, hang in there, honey. It's just a little more ways. And I'd say, great. And like an hour later, hang in there, honey. It's just a little more ways. I said, you said an hour ago. And we get there 3 miles, literally 3 miles. You can see the lake there. And I see this smoke coming up. And I said, that don't look good. And you'll see that little car. That was somebody else who had stopped and was like gazing at this smoke. And we were like, well, I hope someone called it in. We get to our campsite, and we set up our little camper, and within that hour, I've never experienced a forest fire. You know, here in the city, if something's burning, a garage or a house, as tragic as that is, or some grass fire, or, you know, someone set a garbage can on fire at the school, you know, you just grab a hose and you, like, put it out. And so within an hour, we set up, and we look up in the sky. And literally, that is not a cloud, folks. When we got there, the sky was perfectly blue, sun shining bright. That is the smoke within an hour. There's our little camper at the very bottom in the center. And this is not dark. It's still light outside. But the smoke was coming. And my wife says, well, what do you think? And, I learned later that there was this movie like 30 years ago called Family Vacation or something like that. And the Griswolds were on their way to Wally World, and they had driven across country, and they got there only to be turned away by the security guard. The park is closed today, and I think Clark, who my wife started calling me, I think he punched somebody in the nose and said, we are going to go to the park. And so we were there, and the smoke kept getting worse and worse, and my wife goes, what do you think? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never really tried to brag on myself, but I do have 5 college degrees. My average over those 5 degrees was 9.014 out of 10, so that makes me fairly smart. One of those degrees, my third one, I was actually the class valedictorian in college, so I mean, I'm fairly smart, I think. But on this particular day, my wife humbled me. We decided, well, we can spend the night. And so I'm outside, and she tells it better than I do, but I'm outside, and she had cooked up some wonderful pork chops that evening, and we're eating, and I start brushing off the ashes. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, the ashes are falling on me. And so I'm brushing off my pork chop. It still tasted wonderful, by the way. I go back out, sit in my chair. I said, I'm going to enjoy the camp out. I'm going to start a little fire. And my wife said, don't do that. And I said, now, wait a minute. I have this bin, you know, because you're not supposed to transport firewood into the campsites anymore because of the bugs. And so I bring construction 2x4s. And we had transported this tote of wood all across country. I'm starting a fire. I didn't. But in the meantime, I'm in my chair, and the ashes are falling on me. And my wife says, you better get inside. And so we stayed the night. The next morning, the smoke had blackened the sky. I didn't realize how fast forest fires actually can go. It went from like 2 acres to 3,000 acres overnight. And so I told my wife, I didn't tell her out loud, but I knew in my mind, I have 5 college degrees. We are going to go to Canada today. That was part of our agenda. One day we wanted to go to Canada at that state or that national park. And I said, let's go to Canada today and get away from this smoke. And she says, what about our stuff? I said, we'll be all right. We'll go to Canada. So we go to Canada, and man, the skies are blue. God's creation just spoke to us. We saw a grizzly bear. We saw a black bear. And we had a good time in Canada, all the while thinking, this is wonderful. What a great vacation we're on. Thank the church. We thank God for letting us be a part of His nature. And we decided about 7 o'clock we need to head back to the campground, get there before dark. We get back about 8, and we see the smoke everywhere. And we pull into the campground, and all I can remember is saying to my wife, this don't look good. The reason it didn't look good, there was no campers in the campground, and the fire departments had made a command post outside the front door of the campground. And so we roll our window down, you know, and, hey, what's going on? And the lady comes out, we evacuated at 1 o'clock. Where have you been? And this was like 8 o'clock, and I said, oh. And so we go in, and my wife, you know, I just love her to death. Where are we supposed to go? And the lady at the counter, I don't know, but we're going to fully give you a full refund, and here you go. And so we decided, well, we'll have to go to a hotel. Well, the problem is they evacuated the park, all of the lodges, all of the campgrounds, even part of St. Mary, which is a little village outside the park, was evacuated. And so finding a hotel was a very difficult time. And by the way, the road was closed. And so we said, well, how are we going to get there? And they said, well, you got to go up and around. And 100 miles later through, I think we stopped at 2 or 3 different hotels, we finally found one. And then we decided the next day, well, let's get up and go to the west side of the park. All the time we had thinking, enjoy the journey, enjoy the journey, enjoy the journey. It worked out great because God knew what He was doing. We went all the way to the west side of Glacier, and God provided a place for us to set up our campsite. And the one road I wanted to go on, the North Fork Road, was on the west side of the park anyway. And so we got to go do some four-wheeling, and my four-wheel drive worked great. Remember I told you about that before we left? And we had a wonderful time enjoying the journey. Thank you for the last 2 weeks. We enjoyed our journey very much. Do you know, driving 1,600 miles just to get there, our total was 5,000. We went through a forest fire. We were evacuated. We drove 100 miles out of our way. By the way, that hotel cost me $130, and I don't think we spent 7 hours in it. We need to have a hotel here in the church lot or something, man. We can make some money there. You know, as we just sang, when things go great, it's easy to enjoy the journey. At that time, the car was running great. The gas was in the tank. We had food in our cooler. We had food in our tote box. The scenery was stupendous. We were enjoying the journey. But then we hit some snags, and we had some setbacks. Being evacuated from your vacation site, let me tell you, is a setback. We never tore down all of our stuff so quickly. It didn't dawn on me until about 3 days later how foolish or stupid I was. I told my wife, you know, that was pretty dumb of us to go to Canada. And, you know, the fire could have consumed all of our stuff. What were we thinking? But God took care of us. Amen. Things didn't go really as planned those first few days. But we kept looking at each other and pounding our fists together. Enjoy the journey. And that became our motto. You know, living in today's world, is often filled with challenges. Friday night we got back, or Wednesday, and then Friday night we were watching the news on TV, and we heard about some evil-filled guy who threw his four-month-old baby out the fourth-floor window to its death. And you always wonder, how much worse can it get? And before we even left the home this morning, my wife says, I hate Satan. I hate evil in the world. Someone in Houston, some guy had killed 5 kids and 3 adults who were living in his home this morning. How sickening. This world is sick. And yet, preacher's going to preach about enjoying the journey. I heard about one of you on Friday. The muffler needed to be fixed on your car. At the same time, the mower broke. And all the time, that the man of the house was in the hospital. As Christians, it's often easy to enjoy the journey when things are going well, but when life becomes difficult, or when there is a rut in the road, or our journey becomes discouraging, sometimes we get depressed, or we may give up hope. We may even lose our joy. Enjoy the journey. Started writing some things while we were on vacation. I said, there's a sermon there somewhere. Because why is it that so many Christians are walking around in gloom and doom on their face? Why is it that there seems to be no joy in some Christians? Why does it seem that Christians in general just don't seem happy? Could it be that we have allowed Satan to capture a hold on our lives and rob us of our joy? Could it be that he has such a grip on us that we are no longer enjoying the journey of our Christian walk? Folks, it doesn't have to be that way. We need to stay focused on God, defeat Satan and all of those evil practices, and we need to continually maintain and enjoy our Christian journey. Amen? The prophet Isaiah writes in 55:12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. This morning I want to look at 6 reasons why we should all be about enjoying the journey. First of all, we are wonderfully and remarkably made. That was one of the themes of our vacation Bible schools, I think, a few years ago. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, follow along with me. O Lord, thou hast searched me, and you know me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You encompass my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. Folks, God knows us. He created us. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Thou know, hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness covers me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto you, O Lord. For thou hast possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, remarkably made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Folks, you are remarkably and wonderfully made. It's all about enjoying the journey. We are on a journey here in this world, but we know that it doesn't end when we leave this world, right? But we're on this journey, and we have joy in that, knowing that God Himself has remarkably and wonderfully made us. The prophet Jeremiah wrote these words from God, found in chapter 1 of verse 5. God says, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee, and before you came out from the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah the prophet was set apart by God for his prophetic ministry before he was even born. Why? Because God has wonderfully and remarkably made each and every one of us for a purpose. The Apostle Paul, too, was chosen in like fashion. In Galatians chapter 1, he writes, "But when it pleased God, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Folks, we who know Christ as our Savior are called out by God. We have this relationship with the one who wonderfully and remarkably made us. Christians, listen how you are described in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, so that you might show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What's he talking about that? Those of us who are saved, who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we've been called out of the darkness of our sins, and we are in that marvelous light of God Almighty. Enjoy the journey of your Christian life, because God has wonderfully and remarkably made you and chosen you to be his very own. Secondly, we can enjoy the journey because we are forgiven. I want that to sink in a little bit this morning. All of us are sinners. The Bible is clear on that point. Make no mistake about it, Romans 3:23 has four words that apply to every single person who's ever walked on this face of this earth except Jesus. For all have sinned. That means all of us. And because of our sins, the Bible says we have fallen short of God's glory. What that means is there is a separation between us and God, all because of our sins. Now, folks, that's a bad thing to be involved in. There's this separation from God because of our sins. But here's what we preach and teach. We preach and teach that we are to seek God and have a relationship with him. But that is impossible to do because we are sinners and separated from God. Here's another verse in the Bible. Matthew 19:26. "With God, all things are possible. And God himself has made a way for us to be reconciled to him. It was through the blood of Jesus Christ, his perfect, sinless sacrifice." Here's what Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit this, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Or basically what he's saying here is not really looking at all of those sins, not holding us out saying, "You're a sinner, you're doomed, you have nothing here." No, it's a possibility that we can have a relationship with God through Christ, because Christ came not imputing our sins, but has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why Jesus came. God provided his son not to come down and condemn the world, but so that we might have salvation and forgiveness of our sins. That allows us to enjoy the journey. And if you have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, Paul writes in verse 20, "You are now an ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we who are sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him." Folks, because of this, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven by God. He justifies us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that word justify means it is as if we never sinned. Justified, just as if you never sinned. That's a hard thing to comprehend. Well, Pastor, we all sin, right? You just said it. Yes, but if you have been covered by the blood of Jesus, God looks upon us as just as if we never sinned. We are forgiven of all of our sins, and that allows us to enjoy the journey. I am a forgiven creature. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what your sin may be. You may be sitting here thinking, well, Pastor, you haven't done nothing like I've done. Pastor, I know you're a preacher and you're living this life, but I've done some bad things. I don't really care. And guess what? Listen to me. God doesn't either. If you come to Him and say, I need forgiveness, O Lord. I accept Christ as my Savior. I want His blood to cover all of my sins. And God says, no matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus will cover your sins. If you come to Him in faith and in true repentance, that gives me a reason to enjoy the journey. Thirdly, we enjoy the journey because we are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said these words to His disciples prior to Him being crucified. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another one called the Comforter, that He might abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. You who are saved, you who know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you know who this Comforter is. It is the one who dwells with you and shall be in you. We don't hear that enough, man. Christians, we walk around. Do you understand? We have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us. That should give us reason to say, I'm going to enjoy the journey of life. As we just sang, it's easy when we're on the mountain. What about the valley? You know what? The Spirit of God still dwells in me. The Bible teaches that every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit comes in to dwell in us when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, John 7 tells us. And thus, just like the Shekinah, which is the visible manifestation of the divine presence of God described in Jewish theology, just as that dwelt in the temple of Israel, the Holy Spirit dwells in Christ's temple, which is us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and therefore you are not your own? Folks, that's a promise we need to hang on to. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in us. Why? What do we do with that? Well, the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling and living inside us, walking with us every step of our lives. And how can we not then enjoy the journey of life? Folks, the Holy Spirit gives us comfort. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. The Holy Spirit gives us fortitude. He gives us the ability to fight against Satan. He gives us the power to live victoriously. I rely on Jesus' words so often. We are an Acts 1:8 church. And a lot of times we take that to mean, well, we're just all involved in missions, in which we should be. We ought to be involved in missions here in Portage and in the state of Indiana and the United States and outside our borders all across the world. That's what Acts 1:8 says. But before He talks about missions, here's what Jesus says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can I just remind you of something? That's the same power that Jesus used when He raised Lazarus from the dead. That's the same power that the disciples used when they started the early church. That's the same power that got a hold of your life when you were a sinner and you said, I need Jesus, I need forgiveness. And that's the power of God in your life. We have that at our disposal. The indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit allows me to enjoy the journey. Fourth of all, we are created to a new life. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man or woman or boy or girl or child or young lady, young man, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Man, isn't that great? A month or so ago, I woke up thinking about some things of my past. And, you know, Satan has a way of trying to eat you up with your past. And the first verse that came to mind was this. Hey, get away from me, Satan. I am of Christ. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I'm a new creature. And the Bible says all my old trash is gone. Everything is new. That gives me an excitement to enjoy the journey. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Man, isn't that great? We don't have to worry about our old troubled past. That was all pre-Jesus stuff. God says, I have a new life. I have a new likeness to him. Because of my salvation, God has made me a new creature. And because of the salvation in your life, God has made you a new creature. We are made perfect in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus. We have been given a new life, a life that has a relationship with God, a life that has at its disposal the power and strength of God, the God who created the universe, the God whose voice can calm the storm, the God who orchestrates all that happens in the world, the God who is Yahweh, Jehovah. Can I share something with you? We took off that day to Canada, knowing that there was this fire raging. And I'm going to be real careful how I say this, because I don't want to sound haughty, and I don't want to sound greedy. But my wife and I just have this thing about asking God for whatever. And we're driving down this road in Waterton National Park in Canada. Beautiful blue skies. And we were trying to enjoy the journey, thinking about, we just got, you know, this fire burning. What are we going to do? And for that day, we said, let's not worry about it. And I blurt out, God is going to show us a grizzly bear on this road. Now, I'm not some special, powerful guy, but I like to exercise my faith with God. And we're driving along within a matter of a minute. I go, there's a bear! And I hit my brake and went a little too far. Gene jumps out of the car, and the bear had crossed behind us, this grizzly bear, before I could get my camera out. He goes into the woods. We get back in, we're just praising God. Thank you, God, for showing us that stuff. Thank you for that. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. We have the power of God in us, okay? And God can strengthen us and use us, and God can do the impossible, amen? There's another time, one day, we were riding along. I got to share this God moment with you, and we were just praying, and we do this. I know it's odd, but we do it. We have a morning verse of the day, and we pray, and we're driving along in the car, and we're wanting to see animals. And so, quietly, I said, Lord, just show us an animal of your majesty, of your creation. Unbeknownst to me, at the same time, my wife was praying sort of the same prayer silently, and all of a sudden, she goes, there's a bald eagle right there. And we stopped, we got out, and we got to look at this bald eagle, got some pictures, and viewing it in binoculars, and zooming in with the camera. And I said, there's a God moment. I was just praying that God would show us an animal. And she goes, I was too. I'm only sharing that with you to tell you, God hears our prayers. And that's the God who orchestrates everything. Who else am I going to pray that I see an eagle from? We just sang, where would I go but to the Lord? When times are tough, when enjoying the journey just seems like, oh, I don't know, I'm on a difficult part of my journey, where else are we going to go but to the Lord? And we thought, well, if we want to see animals, let's go to the one who created the animals. And God fulfilled that. I can enjoy the journey because of this new life we have in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Fifthly, we are walking with the Lord God. Folks, if you're a Christian, you are walking with God each and every day on your journey. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, there are times when life becomes difficult. There are times when you get that bad news. There are times when things just go wrong. But we have to remind ourselves, hey, God told us he would never leave us or forsake us. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And look what happened. The churches were multiplied. Folks, God will take care of us when we walk in the fear of the Lord. That word fear means not afraid that he's going to hit you over the head with a ball bat. That word means basically in respect and love. You are walking so closely to God, and you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus promised in the first place, and things will be multiplied. Now, that does not mean you're going to be a millionaire. Please don't misunderstand that. But you will see blessings somewhere if you just look. We've gotten that hotel after being evacuated from the fire, finally found a hotel. We had missed supper. We were tired. We were dirty. And I said, and Gene goes, well, what are we going to do now? I said, the only thing I know to do is to call a couple other campgrounds and see if we can find a place. And so the first one I called, I didn't tell her this because I didn't want to be so negative, but here is our plight. They had evacuated the park and all the campgrounds and all the hotels. Everybody's looking for a room and a place to set up a camper. And specifically, we needed Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We needed 3 nights because we were going to leave to go to our next destination. I mean, it was a small window here. And I'm thinking there's just no way we're going to find something so specific. And then I started praying. I said, well, God, you know, we're walking with you. You never leave us or forsake us. You got to help us out here. He said, well, Pastor, you're praying to God for a campsite. Don't you think God has other important things on his mind? Yes, probably. But I also know the Bible tells us what? He doesn't know if we don't ask, right? And the Bible tells us exercise our faith. And the Bible says God cares for me no matter what. And the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And so I call that KOA on the west side. And I said, sir, here's my plight. We've been evacuated from the east side. He says, yeah, I know. We're kind of full. Everybody else is coming over here. He says, what do you need? I said, I need 3 nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He says, I've got it for you. That's God. Now, you can say, well, you know, that just kind of happened. Say what you want. I'm going to tell you that's a God moment. And I said, we will be there in an hour. We are about 60 miles away. I said, we'll be there in an hour. Hold that spot for us. And we got there, and God took care of us. Why? Because we just know we are walking with the Lord. Paul taught us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. 1 John 2:6, he that says he abides in him ought also himself to walk, even as he walks. I don't know about you, but my wife and I abide in God. We abide in the strength of Jesus Christ, and we're walking with him, and we're just dumb enough or maybe smart enough or have enough faith to say, God, take care of us. On this part of our journey, we have nowhere else to go or who to go to, and God says, I'll do that. I'll do that. Micah 4:5 says, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the journey because I'm walking with the Lord God Yahweh. The prophet Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest in your souls. Can I just challenge you, if you're in that part of the journey that's not going so well, take God at his word and stand on his promises and walk in the good way, and you will find rest for your soul. And sixthly and lastly, enjoy the journey, because we have the eternal promise of heaven waiting for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Where is that everlasting life that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 3. It is in heaven with the Father. John's revelation gives us probably the best description of heaven, found in chapter 21 of Revelation. Just let this sink in for a moment as I read this. And there came unto me, John says, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb being Jesus, the bride or the wife being the church. Who is the church? Those who know Christ as their Savior. And this angel says, let me show you the end result. And John writes in verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Let me stop there for a moment. On Friday that week, we knew the weather was going to be good. I have waited 3 years to climb Mount Washburn in Yellowstone Park. It's 10,286 feet high. And God gave us a perfect, beautiful day. 2.5 miles up, we both made it to the top. And we looked out, and God's beauty was everywhere, 360 degrees. We just kept doing this, taking hundreds of pictures. And we looked out, and they said, you can see the Grand Tetons about 50 miles away. What splendor there was. Here, the angel takes John out, and he sees this great mountain, the holy Jerusalem. I'm just trying to picture what that might look like after seeing what the world looked like on top of Mount Washburn. And here's what John records in verse 11. Having the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And that city had a great wall, and it was high. It had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, whose names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east side, 3 gates. On the north side, 3 gates. On the south side, 3 gates. On the west side, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb of God. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, John says, and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. Now he's describing heaven. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, so pure that it was like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, I think it's chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, a chrysophorus. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. Look what John also writes in verse 22. I didn't see a temple there. I didn't see a church. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, His Son, are the temple of this city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God lighted it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor the nations to it, and there shall be no wise anyone who enters into it, anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. In essence, there's no evil here. For they which are written in the Lamb's book of life are the only ones who inhabit this place. only those whose name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life get to enjoy the final stop of this journey, and that final stop is heaven. I can enjoy the journey here on earth because in the end, God wins. I can enjoy the journey here on earth because I'm on the winning team. I can enjoy the journey here on earth because I know the outcome. I can enjoy my journey here on earth because in the end, I end up living in heaven for all of eternity with God Almighty. That gives me reason to enjoy the journey. Someone said, 2.5 miles up. Yeah. Was it difficult? Yeah. But it was worth every moment. And as we descended down that same 2.5 miles, we would meet people coming up. Some people were struggling to climb that high, and my wife was the one to always say, "You can do it. Don't give up. The view is spectacular." We found a lady a little bit older than us and her husband. They were within a few hundred yards, and she was barely making it. And we both told her, "You got to make it to the top. I know it's difficult. Make it to the top. It's worth it. Just take your time." And here's what she said. I don't know her name, never met her before. She says, "I'm going post to post before I take my rest." You know, sometimes life is like that. Those posts I'm talking about were just some posts sporadically along the trail, probably to mark it during the high snows. And she was weary and tired and maybe a little too old to go on, but she knew if she could just go from point to point and take a rest, she would make it. We kept going down. She kept going up. I don't know if she ever made it, but I think she did. I don't think she gave up. And so here's John describing heaven to us. And if we can just go post to post, yeah, we know we're going to get weary. Yeah, we know that sickness may prevail. Yeah, we know that bad things happen. Yeah, we know the muffler falls off the car. Yeah, we know the washing machine breaks. Yeah, we know we have kids who won't listen to us. But if we can just go post to post, when we get to heaven, the view John describes is spectacular. Hang in there. Enjoy the journey. But you got to make sure of one thing. The Bible is very clear. Your name has to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. We couldn't have got to the top without taking that first step. We couldn't have gotten to the top had we not had enough belief and faith in ourselves. We can do this. We wouldn't have gotten to the top had we not have prepared and read about this and known the right way to go. We just followed along that path, enjoying the journey. Halfway up that mountain, we saw some bighorn sheep down in this valley. I was taking pictures of it in my mind. I says, "God, have those sheep walk up here just once again." I want to know. Am I on the right track? Am I on the right path? Amen. Am I where you want me to be? Amen. My wife was about 30 yards ahead of me at that particular moment. And those bighorn sheep walked along this path down in this valley. And there's this little ridge, and I lost them over the ridge. But a couple minutes later, I saw a couple of those heads pop up. And they started coming toward me. And so I'm taking these pictures. It was a magnificent thing in this sense. God showed up and said, "Just stay on the path. Enjoy the journey. You're heading in the right direction. You're doing what you've been called to do. Keep doing it." Yes, times get tough, and sometimes the journey stinks, but we can enjoy the journey because we have the eternal promise of heaven. The final stop in those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is heaven. We can enjoy that journey. Folks, all of us are on a journey. We're all traveling the road of life. Some of you may be at the beginning. Some of you, and I say this respectfully, some of you may be at the very end of the road. And for everyone else, you're somewhere in the middle. But one thing that we all have in common is this. We don't know when our particular journey is going to end. The Bible is clear. We all have an appointment with death. We just don't know when that might be. We were driving home last Tuesday, and we decided to drive down. I think it was me more than my wife. I said, let's go down into Colorado for a brief moment. And we went down into Colorado for a moment on our way home, and Jean pointed out, we're only about 30 miles from Estes Park. Now, Estes Park, Colorado, is one of our favorite places. It's the entrance to the Rocky Mountain National Park. And for a moment, we joked with each other, saying, I wonder if we can just call the church or Brother Barry and just say, we took a detour, and we're going to spend another week. But we kind of knew we couldn't do that. We were homesick for our family, for our church. We knew that, like all vacation, this one was coming to an end. Soon it would be over. Soon we'll be back to work and our busy schedules. But again, we determined to enjoy the journey as we headed home. There's a message there. Wherever you're at in life, enjoy the journey, because you're heading home. You're heading home to an eternity with the Lord. I want to encourage all of you to enjoy the journey. If you're a Christian, you have reasons to be joyful. You are wonderfully and remarkably made. Say that with me. I am wonderfully and remarkably made. Say this with me. I am forgiven. Say this with me. I am indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Say this with me. I am created to a new life in Christ. Say this with me. I am walking with the Lord God Yahweh. Say this with me. I am promised eternal life in heaven. Folks, with all of that, there really is no reason not to enjoy the journey. The prophet Isaiah said, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Enjoy the journey. Heavenly Father, we lift you up this morning. We love you.